Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 51, 1 through 8, in your pew Bible, page 631. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one. And I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people, hear my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. And my arm will bring justice to nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And its inhabitants will die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right. You people who have my law in your hearts, do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations.
Thanks, David.
On the corner of Government and Bay Avenue, the doomsday fanatic wore a crown of kudzu. Sirens were wailing in the Gulf coastal heat, and it seemed like the whole world was in forced retreat.
Or so the line from a song called Love in the Library goes at the beginning. Or perhaps you've ridden down the street and instead of thinking about something like that, maybe you saw a sign that said, get right or get left. Or maybe you heard the street preachers screaming urgent messages at people as they waved their Bibles and pointed their fingers. Or perhaps you've just watched the news. Listen to the radio. Look throughout your own neighborhood. And perhaps the world has seemed like it's in a forced retreat. Because there's so much out there that is scary. And the world is in such need of a redeeming word. Even more so, actual redemption. A message of salvation that sometimes seems so far away. And I don't mean the New Age kind of Gnostic thing where human beings will make their own way and will be the salvation of all the world. Doesn't take much watching of the news or reading of history to understand that humans don't generally save the world, do we? In fact, we often do just the opposite. We do terrible things to each other. And oftentimes we even do those terrible things to each other in the name of religion. Today's passage was given to the exiles as a message of hope in a very desperate time. A message of hope when they thought the world was in forced retreat and they themselves were looking for some place to hide. A message of consolation in a time when they seemed in the overwhelming minority and when their world seemed to be unraveling faster than they could imagine. And they didn't even have internet and cell phones. In the middle of a chaotic situation, these exiles who were looking for deliverance and who seemed to have a hard time seeing it anywhere are told that God's salvation is near. Yet note the prophetic writer addresses this promise of near salvation not just to everyone, but to those who pursue tzedek, deliverance, salvation. The salvation to come is from God, and that is to be sure and was to be sure for them. But the people also had a responsibility to do something as well. First of all, to realize that salvation and redemption was nearby. Oftentimes when we think of salvation is near or get right or get left, we hear the message that the end is upon us. And while sometimes it is the end of our lives as we know it, the final end is not there. But the call for that redemption and salvation is to remind us that it is near to us every day. It is available to us every day. Because every day there are things that we do or situations in which we find ourselves that we need to continue to be redeemed. Do we not? In anticipation of the possible protests that the prophet might hear about how small we are. And these writings are probably somewhere late Assyrian exile, early Babylonian exile. How small we are as a people, and unable to make a big difference, they are reminded from where they have come and by whom they were called. That rock, which is the Lord. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness. That is, go after a right relationship with God. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. And that is from the grace of God. From the grace of God. And they're reminded that they were really strong together because they come from that strong rock, which is the Lord. The one who has watched over them throughout history. They're reminded that God, though, is not just a watcher, but God is their protector. God is proactive in reaching out to care for them. God is proactive in reaching out to call them into relationship. God is the strength from which their waning spirits had come and might be restored. And God is the one who brings redemption and salvation. They're reminded not to rely upon themselves alone, but rather to continue in that partnership with God and with each other. In case they had forgotten, the prophet refers to Abraham and Sarah, who had no children, who had no prospect of children. And yet God's purposes were not defeated. And the few, Abraham and Sarah, had become many out of God's promises. If people would hear the call and trust enough to follow, the prophet says, God's salvation will be experienced. Not just at the end of the world, but God's salvation will be experienced in our current life. Verse 2 literally would read, "For one I called that I might bless him and multiply him." God is saying, I called him out in order to multiply him. I called him out in order to bless him with many nations. Not just so he could keep it to himself, but rather to grow him. Salvation is corporate as well as individual in God's purpose. Our redemption, yes, is for us as individuals, because we are in need of redemption as individuals. But our redemption and salvation is not just for us. Our redemption and salvation is for us. All of us together participate in that redemption. That redemption of the world. Because God not only works through Jesus our Christ, but God works through us to help the world come to know Him. And we who are few have daily opportunities not only to have our own lives enhanced and grow in grace, but we have opportunities to help others to come to know that their wasteland can be changed and that they too can have that grace to share. In verse 3, when God talks about the Lord will comfort Zion and comfort all her waste places, will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. God is promising that consummation of human history. Now, it's not a consummation that takes place only at the end of the world. All who are in God's Zion, all who are part of God's people, will be comforted even in their own times of discouragement by God Himself. The anticipation of returning someday from exile to the homeland was mixed with discouragement because their world was not going very well. But the grand news is that God's purpose is to restore people, to restore His children as an Eden, a people of God. While they were looking for a literal transformation of the world into paradise, because they had been in such dire need, in exile and away from God in many ways, God's promise of salvation was more than their limited hope. James Muhlenberg, Old Testament theologian, writes, "In the devout community who rebuilt the temple in the middle of a difficult world situation, a voice of praise was heard. Spiritual fellowship became a garden of the Lord to many devout folk." End of quote. Spiritual fellowship, gathering together and sharing in that grace and in that spirit which God gives us, refreshes and renews, just like the Garden of Eden. Hence, as I said a few moments ago, God's deliverance, God's redemption, God's salvation is not just an individual thing. It is corporate as we come together and share in that spiritual fellowship. The end result of that deliverance will be like the beginning when God declared everything good. As the exiles wondered if their world was doomed, God's message is that salvation is near. The first three verses reminded the people of the promises of God throughout their early history. But the next verses speak succinctly to their realization for the exiles. God's promises are not empty. God doesn't make hypothetical and abstract promises. To bring a proper understanding to light, we find that the writer, the prophet, uses the imperative form, "Listen and give ear." Pay close attention. "Give me your undivided attention," says the prophet. God is speaking and God is promising sustaining life. Sustaining life not just through His words, but through His actions. Pay attention. Look around you, He is saying, and know where God is found. Near, not far. Salvation is near, not far. God's promises, God's law and justice will be a guiding light for those to whom salvation becomes that reality, to those who pursue that relationship of righteousness with God. And this salvation is not only coming quickly for the exiles, but is actually present now. Speedily I will bring my deliverance near. My salvation will come forth, right? Now, if you're reading the text along with me, the text says, speedily or quickly I will bring my deliverance near. My salvation has gone forth. It has already come here. It is already present with my presence in the world. God has made salvation and redemption available to any who will accept both the redemption and the responsibility that it carries. That responsibility to live and share the message of salvation, not just in word, but also by the way we live our lives. God assures people of His powerful sovereignty, and that the waiting of people, wondering sometimes if the world is in retreat, will be met with a strong presence of God. The world may disappear. The stars may fall, He says, but God's righteousness endures always and forever. Heaven and earth were seen as the most permanent of all God's creations in the ancient world. To the ancient Hebrews, they looked at heaven and earth as things that would not pass away. They knew that people ceased to exist, plants stopped growing, animals died, but heaven and earth were seen as always. But the prophet recognizes here in this song and delivers to the people the understanding that the only thing that is truly permanent is God's salvation and deliverance. These will never be abolished. God's salvation and God's deliverance. Nor will God's loving character cease. This assurance is followed by the call, "Fear not, therefore. Be not afraid." Because God is indeed a God who is righteous. Those who know righteousness, who have that established intimate relationship with God, whose heart, that is the core of their lives, is God's law, God's precepts, should never allow fear of ridicule or persecution to overwhelm our lives. Rather, we are called to show that we are recipients of that salvation and to encourage others to find it as a present reality in life. You know, far too many people, as we've said before, who only come and walk the aisle to get fire insurance, and they forget about it until off in the future. Prophet reminds us here that the reality of redemption is a daily journey. Even in a world that seems like it is retreating, it's a daily journey, for God's salvation is forever. This has even greater significance for Christians, I think. For God makes salvation an ongoing reality in and for our world, in and through Jesus the Christ, and in and through you and me. Sometimes our world truly seems too much to take, does it not? Sometimes, as the line in the song says, it seems like it's in forced retreat. But remember that Christianity began with a small group. Remember that Judaism began with a small group. Christianity began with a group who knew God, and knew God in a very special way, but who also knew each other. They knew each other through care and through fellowship and through being concerned about the redemption and the salvation of those around them. And each one of them, not just Peter, James, John, Paul, and other church leaders, showed that care and that fellowship. It was not just Peter, James, John, and other leaders in that fledgling church that told the message of good news to others around. But those early Christians gathered together regularly in the streets, in homes, in neighborhoods, to share the good news that salvation is near, redemption and grace are here. Because of Jesus. And because of God's presence within our lives, which we share with others. Sometimes we're afraid to speak to those around us about that present reality. Sometimes in today's world especially, you never know what reaction you're going to get. And quite frankly, oftentimes we Christians and many church leaders help fuel the flames of ridicule because of the ways we approach folks, not with grace, but with judgment and loud pronouncements. But we should never fear to speak to those around us of the present availability. Better yet, the present guarantee of God's salvation with a sense of loving care and true commitment. There must be a sincere return to God. We agree. But then again, God promises that salvation is near always and forever, even beyond time. Salvation is near. That's good news. We have a responsibility to share in it. That's great news. And the other piece of good news is you and I and anyone who will pursue that right relationship with God sincerely on a daily basis then have the responsibility to share it with others. Seemed like the whole world was in forced retreat. But love. Love overcomes retreat. Our closing hymn is hymn number 596, I Surrender All. Part of salvation being near and that call of God is that we give to God ourselves, all of ourselves, that we might be used to share the good news that salvation is near. As we stand and as we sing hymn number 596, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. I surrender all.